I don't know about you, but do you feel like you walk alone? You've probably heard of the song, You'll Never Walk Alone. It's a fairly familiar song. Lots of people have had a go of it over the years. It was originally written for a musical in 1945, just for those that are musically minded, Carousel. So when you want to duck off and listen to the song in its original format. But Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley's had a bit of a go, and there's a long list of others that have tried and done their own thing. But it probably wasn't until Jerry and the Pacemakers, a band from Liverpool in 1963 that punched out their version that made it a real hit. Everyone got excited about it. Everyone thought, wow, this is great. And the Liverpool Soccer Club decided, hey, how about we sing that before our games? This will be exciting. And, you know, when it was a number one chart topper, it was easy. And then as the charts got changed over by something else, it started to wane. But the fans said, no, 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 we really like this one. We want to keep it. And so pretty much from 1963 on, it's been the Liverpool Soccer Club's pseudo anthem, if you would. And so much so that on the captain's armband that he wears, the little black or whatever colour they wear, I'm not too sure, the initials YNWA are on it. You'll never walk alone. So that's on the captain's armband. So every time he pulls that on for the team knows that they're part of something bigger. They're not out on the field alone, but rather all the fans are with them. And the fans know they're not alone because there's a whole bunch of other fans that are singing the same song. But as we look at today's passage, I wonder whether the song actually helps us to feel like you're not walking alone. Because I'm sure some days you feel like you are alone. Even though we're surrounded by people in this world, it can be a very lonely place at times. I'm going to pray for us as we get into the text today that we can focus, that we can do what we need to do to hear God's word this morning, and that he'll give us wisdom to understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you that we're here this morning, that we've come to join together and look at your word. Father, we pray now that it certainly as I open it, that you would grant me great wisdom and that your spirit would work in me to speak your words to the people here this morning. And may their hearts and minds be open to it, and may they be willing to see you for who you truly are. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Relationships everywhere around us. Please have your Bibles open. Sorry, I should have said that. That's really helpful. There is a lot of flipping and carrying on today because there's lots of texts. I'll be referring back to them as we go. There's an outline in the bulletin if you want to tag along. If you want to write some questions, John will happily answer them later, I'm sure. No, I'll do that as well. So happy to speak with you. At end. Relationships, we're surrounded by them, aren't we? Whether we like it or not, they're everywhere. Our families are made up of lots of them. Some of us have a lot more relationships in our families because our families are much bigger than we ever thought, especially when you get on something like Ancestry and you start finding out that aunties, cousins, uncles, friends, whatever's a dog down the road or something. And yet sometimes we can still feel so alone. Why is that? Why is it that we can feel so alone? Certainly in these last few years, as COVID has attacked us and we've found ourselves reassessing all the relationships around us, haven't we? Because we've been forced to. They haven't been an easy thing, relationships of late, because we've been forced to be alone. And that's helped us to reassess, hasn't it? It's helped you to think more about what are the important relationships around you? Do I really need that many relationships on Facebook to feel like I'm connected to anyone? Maybe just a few really good ones is better. The world around us also has lots of relationships, doesn't it? Even though we're not necessarily involved. I was thinking about that quickly and I came up with a few, and I'm sure you'll be able to come up with more. Plants, oxygen, and us. Vital for us, the relationship. Really, I don't play any part. I don't think you do much either. You might grow a plant here or there, but really the rest of it just sort of happens and it's great. Bees, plants, and food. I'm interested in the food bit. The rest of it, well, it does what it does. And once again, I desperately need the other two to happen, but really I don't play much of a part in it. And the moon, water, and tides, I mean, that just happens around us whether we like it or not. And it just seems to take place. And I constantly find I'm at the wrong spot whenever I go fishing. So there we are. These relationships impact us while we're often doing nothing. We're part of the relationship because we're in it, in the cycle, in the circle. But really, like I said before, we have very little input. And I'm not sure how you feel connected to those outside relationships. But that's just where we find ourselves in this world. As we look at today's passages, I want us to explore the relationships that are going on within the text. There's lots of relationships happening. At first glance, it looks very confusing. Trust me, I looked at it three or four times before I started to get a grip on it. But there's Jesus and his disciples, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit and God the Father, the Holy Spirit and the believers and the followers of Jesus, to name a few. And so all those relationships are interacting with each other throughout the text. But today, I want us to focus in on just a few of those relationships, if we can. Let's move on to the next point in our bulletin. Jesus is concerned for his people. I want to spend a bit of time here because I think this is important. Over the past few weeks, we've been working through John's gospel. We've seen that Jesus has served his disciples in various ways. He's washed their feet. This is all pretty much from chapter 13 that I'm just gleaning from. He's sorted out the Last Supper and has served that out and gone through all of that. He's endured Judas's betrayal. He served Judas as he knew that was the guy that was going to hand him over. He told Peter that in regards to denying Jesus, he was going to do it. He knew what was coming for Peter, and yet he was still there for him. He had comforting words for his disciples about what was going to happen, even though he was just hours away from his own death. I don't know what you're doing when you're hours away from your own death. You probably don't know when that's coming, so that's good for you and it's good for me. But Jesus knew, and just hours away from it, he's telling everyone else what they need to know. He's making sure they're in good stead. He's letting them know all that's going to happen, just making sure they're okay. And this is just hours before Jesus' world is going to change entirely. You see, God the Father, God the Son, they'd been together forever, which is a hard concept to sometimes get your brain wrapped around. But they just existed way back then. They never were not. And here is going to be a moment in time when the relationship is about to be broken. God the Father, God the Son, they'd never been separated. Even when Jesus came to this earth, he was in a different connection to what we could ever hope to achieve. And yet as Jesus faced the cross, all that was about to be ripped apart because sin was about to enter into that relationship where sin had never been before. And that was going to change their relationship forever. Thankfully for Jesus, it was only a short period, but Jesus still knew it was going to change and he was willing to head still to the cross for you and for me. As we look at today's passage, we see in John chapter 14, verse 18, the first words that Jesus was speaking there. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So in amongst all that's going on with Jesus, his concern is for his people, for his friends, for those that he loves. Jesus knows the future. He's telling them what's going to happen so that when it does happen, they'll know that Jesus told them. They'll remember what Jesus told them so that they can trust what Jesus has told them. "Peace I leave with you." What sort of peace do you think Jesus is talking about? We see there at the start, I lost that one. Where did that go? Back down there. It's there somewhere. I'll get back up to it eventually. I've got a different reference here. He was talking about peace. But before we get to the peace, I want us to focus in on a few verses that I think are probably the crux of the passages today. And that's towards the end of chapter 14, verses 29, 30, and 31. Please have them open. I'm going to read them. "I have told you now before it happens, but when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world's coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must know that I love the Father and that what I do exactly with my Father, and that I do exactly what my father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And I want us to focus in even more on just the key phrase that he says here, he has no hold on me. That's Jesus talking about Satan. The prince of this world is Satan, not Jesus. Jesus is the ruler of the world. And Jesus here is saying that Satan has no hold on me. Friends, that should change your world. Because here we have the Savior, the one who is about to die for you, who's already won the victory, even before his death. He didn't need to die to win Satan over, to defeat Satan. Satan was already defeated before the cross. But when he died on the cross for you, he's defeated death for us. Satan has no hold on us. Friends, Jesus is the ruler. And so therefore, Jesus needs to rule in your life. You can't get away from the fact that Jesus is in charge. Now, you may not think Jesus is in charge. You may not believe he's in charge. You might want to think that you're doing it, someone else is doing it, something else is doing it. I don't know. But today's text is pretty clear. He has no hold on me. Satan has no rule on me. The world is mine. And what does Jesus do with that? Well, later on we'll see that Jesus actually happily does everything that the Father wants him to do. And so Jesus doesn't lord this power or keep this power to himself, but he's only doing exactly what the Father commands him. So, which is crazy, isn't it? Because Jesus could have ruled himself. He could have taken charge and taken everything for himself. But no, 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 no. Such was the relationship. He was more than happy. In fact, overwhelmingly excited to do exactly what the Father commanded because of their relationship that they had. They were never alone, apart from after the cross. So just summing up with what we've got at the moment, with this little verse, we've got a life-changing moment in history because Jesus has now defeated Satan. That changes the world for us because now Christ is in charge. Christ is the ruler. We trust Jesus. We're on the winning side. We're never alone. And then Jesus goes on to say, come, let us leave at the end, because he knows where he's heading. He's heading towards the cross. So even though all that's going on around him, he still wants to head towards the cross, hours away, because he knows that's what we desperately need to fix our relationship with God. And then Jesus says, come watch me die, essentially, in all of that. And that's because he doesn't want to leave us alone. Which brings us to our next point this morning. Do you really know Jesus? Friends, right here today, I want to ask the hard question. Do you really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because if you don't, that's really sad. Because you're missing out on lots. And today is an opportunity to actually change that. Today could be a day where you need to think about whether I'm going to follow Jesus. Am I going to let Jesus, the one who is the ruler, the one who has defeated Satan, who rules and reigns, are you going to let him rule and reign your life? Or are you going to continue as you're going, thinking that maybe at the end you'll be okay? My recent health journey, some of you may or may not know, but I've been sick for quite a while now, since Easter roughly last year. How confronting it was for me to go from someone that was very healthy and able-bodied to after one of the operations, I could manage to sit in a chair for 10 minutes when two people helped me. Then that was a journey because it was such an effort. It took about 15 minutes to get me out of the bed into the chair. I was in the chair for 10 minutes before I started to feel like I was about to collapse, and they rushed me back to the bed. So what an effort that was. But that was very quickly changed. Friends, I went from complete health to almost nothing. It was a matter of about 6 weeks from no symptoms prior. Thankfully, I'm fine now and certainly on the mend. Thank you for your prayers and all your journeys with me. But friends, time is short. You never know when the journey is going to change. And so therefore, don't put off following Jesus because I'll get to it later. Today could be a great day. Peace and comfort. They were around me when I was in hospital. I had great peace and comfort because I had great medical care. I had family, friends around me. I had medical insurance, so the bills were all paid, so that was lovely. And yet, in the middle of the night, I was quite alone. I was lying in bed doing nothing, unable to do anything. I couldn't get out of bed for myself. And yet God was with me. I was enjoying peace with God. I was enjoying the promises that he'd made to me. I was enjoying it because my eternity was secure. I wasn't concerned about where eternity was and what was going on with my life, whether I was going to live or die. I didn't know. But I was comforted and I wasn't alone because God was with me. I had the counselor, the comforter with me. And that was really satisfying for me. It was comforting. And that really let me put things in perspective, to have them in the right place. So friends, once again, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't have that saving relationship with Jesus, don't let it pass by. Do something about it. Come speak to me after church. Speak to John. We'd love to sit down and spend however long it takes. Answer all those questions that are holding you back. Because Jesus has defeated Satan and he's coming back to judge at the end of this time. I don't know when that time is. And like I said, whatever's holding you back, don't let it be time, because time could be your enemy. If you know Jesus, how thankful you should be. What joy we have if we know Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, rest today. Because that is a great place to be, friends. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the knowledge of never being alone. But if you could do something for me, please. Can I ask you today? I want you to be finding a couple of names of people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to be praying at the end of the sermon. I want you guys to be praying those couple of names. So seriously, think about a family member, a friend or a neighbor. Who are they? Individually, don't just say for all those that don't know Jesus. I want you to focus in on one or two people. And maybe this week could be a great week to be speaking and having conversations. Because like I said, time is short. And because we're not alone, how good would it be if they weren't alone as well? All right. Let's move towards the Holy Spirit and you, the relationship that happens when we do know Jesus. Let's go back to verse 15 of chapter 14. Now that we've got our relationship with Jesus sort of under wraps and under handle, we need to find out what this Holy Spirit relationship is actually going on here. And Jesus quite clearly in verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Just all we got to do is just do that, and it's pretty much solved. And then in 16, he goes on, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The Holy Spirit has various names as we work through these two texts. So if you wanted to look at, we've got counselor as one of the names, and that's in John 14, 16. And in 15:26, you'll see that the counselor gets a run. We've got the Spirit of Truth there in 14 verses 17. The next little bit there that I just finished on. And then over in 15 verse 26, we also have the Spirit of Truth as another mention. And then also in chapter 16 verse 13, we get, was it 13? No, it wasn't. Sorry. I got that one wrong. Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry, I was looking at 16:16. Yeah, there we go. And then the Holy Spirit actually gets a run in 14, verse 26. Friends, they're all the same. So don't be confused. It's all the same person. It's just a different name. Us Aussies come up with lots of nicknames. The Holy Spirit's got lots of names as well. Don't be confused. But do enjoy. So who is the Holy Spirit for? Just before we get into that, it's an important side comment just to make. Some churches say that you only get the Holy Spirit when you believe in Jesus and you speak in tongues. Some churches say you only get the Holy Spirit when you can prophesy. Some churches say you only get the Holy Spirit or a full anointing of the Holy Spirit when you have multiple gifts. Friends, the passage doesn't say that. The passage is pretty clear. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and the Father will send the Spirit to comfort you. Friends, there's no extra bit of Holy Spirit that you get. There's no additional Holy Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit plus extra that you can buy later, or if you purchase with one, you'll get a two-for-one offer. There's none of that. It's just God being very generous, wanting to live with you straight away. All right. In regards to this commands bit that he says in verse 15, let's flip over to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, if you want to flip over there, that'd be great. And we've got, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments." I think what Jesus is saying there is, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And here we have the two commandments that he gave. If you love Jesus, you'll love God the Father, number one, and you'll love everyone else as yourself. Unfortunately, in verse 17, we're told that no one else gets the Holy Spirit. Everyone else misses out, which doesn't seem very fair, I guess, but we're not giving the Holy Spirit out. God the Father is giving the Holy Spirit out, so it's up to God to choose how he deals out the Holy Spirit and to who he allows and not allows to enjoy the relationship. But we see there in verse 17 of chapter 14, back in John, we see there, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you." Explaining who the Holy Spirit is incredibly difficult to those that don't know Jesus, because they don't know him, they don't see him, they have no concept of him. So don't spend hours confusing people about who the Holy Spirit is if they don't know Jesus first. Spend hours confusing them with Jesus. That's more worthy. Because once they know Jesus, the Holy Spirit arrives. It's a free gift because Jesus wants to be with that person. The Father wants to be with that person. So enjoy. Why would he send the Holy Spirit? Let's read chapter 16, verses 12 and 13 of John. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Jesus knows what's ahead, and he knows how to help them to navigate that. And when he's no longer going to be physically with them in that physical sense, in fact, Jesus said, "It's better that I go so that the Spirit can be with you rather than Jesus hang around." And I was pondering that just as a little side thing as well. Jesus could be with his 12. Jesus could feed 5,000. It's not beyond the realms that Jesus could be with everyone, but it's going to be pretty hard physically for Jesus to be with everyone. And so the Spirit is a much more effective easier way to be with everyone around the world. Jesus can be with everyone through the Spirit. Easy. Physically, somewhat more difficult just because of limitations of physicality. Jesus could probably achieve it somehow, but with the Spirit, the problem is solved. Let's read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 14. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Once again, Jesus is just hours away from his death, and he's thinking of disciples and his followers. How are they feeling? He knows what's lying ahead of them, but he's constantly concerned for them. That's why he wants to send the Spirit as well, because he knows they're going to be traumatized by his death. They know that it's going to be awful when they face the ridicule of the world, and so the Spirit is going to help them. In verse 23 of John 14, we see that God's Son and the Spirit are moving in to the believer. Let's have a look there at verse 23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." Friends, God's moving in, whether you like it or not. Once you love God and love Jesus, they're moving in. They're making home. They're not just sort of making a little tent out the back. They're not just taking up the spare room. They're moving in entirely. They want the whole place. They want to move into every part of your life. They want to be with you no matter where you go. It's almost as if heaven has come early. Really, because God's living with us. When we go to heaven, we're going to be living with God. Well, God's now come to earth and living with us. It's almost like it. It's not quite like it, but it's almost. We're still sinful. We can't be directly with the Father. So we've got the Holy Spirit as the intermediary. But the fact that God is with you, enjoy. What a privilege. What an honor to be part of that relationship. In 14:26, we see now, "But the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." God's bringing all things together. He's going to use the Holy Spirit to teach the disciples. And that's us, the followers of Jesus today. To help them to remember all that Jesus had said and taught and shared with them. It's going to enable the New Testament to be written down with clarity and to include all that God wanted so that you and I could have a true understanding of who God is and what he's done for us. And then it's worked fine for 2,000 plus years, and it's going to go on into the future just as it was written down back then. So we know that God's using the Spirit to teach us all things. He taught the disciples of the day when they wrote the scriptures. He's teaching his disciples today when we read the scriptures. So enjoy reading the scriptures, because that's the closest thing you're doing to learning about God. Enjoy that part. Don't wander off. Don't change your story. Get it straight from God. Keep the clarity there. So that it's the same today as it was yesterday and it will be tomorrow. And finally on this section, how long is the Holy Spirit with us? Well, in verse 16 of chapter 14, "I will send the counselor to be with you forever." Forever is a very long time, as we know, but what a joy and a privilege to have the Holy Spirit with us forever. That's a fairly clear thing. It's not you couldn't sort of argue that maybe he was only talking about a forever for a shorter time frame or something like that. It's forever. So friends, enjoy having the Holy Spirit, because that's God moving in, being with you closer. Because what that means is that you're not alone. However lonely this world may feel, you're not alone anymore, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, is with you. Moving on to our final point for today, do you live differently because of Jesus? So you love Jesus, You know him better. You're reading his word. But what impact is that really having on your life? How does that show to the people that live next door to you or live with you or the people that are sitting next to you this morning in the pews? We've seen what we need to love Jesus and to obey his commands. We need to be loving and obeying, following his commands, which he set up for us. Love the Lord your God is number one. Love everyone else as yourself. And we know that we're not alone. In fact, we're never alone because we enjoy the relationship that Jesus has set up with the Holy Spirit and spending time with him every day. So get to know Jesus better through the Spirit. Get to know God the Father better through the Spirit. And how would you get to know them better? Well, you'd spend more time with them, wouldn't you? You want to know someone physically, you get to spend time with them, speak with them. So do the same with God. Pray with him quietly, just one-on-one. Read God's word, just one-on-one. You might want to read it with others, and we can do it on Sunday. That's fantastic. But spend time with him individually as well. Enjoy his love and mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his comfort that he offers. Try and get a glimpse of his power as you do all of those things. Don't take the Holy Spirit for granted and think that he's just a random person who lives with you all the time. You know, that housemate that you just take for granted when they do all the vacuuming, the cleaning, the washing. Thanks, Vanessa. Recognize for who they are. Make sure you give them the right kudos, the right credit. Don't just say, yeah, the Holy Spirit's with me. That's great, but I'll spend more time with everyone else. Take your time. But of course, remember, spending time with the Spirit, don't let that be your main aim, because the Spirit is purely to point to Jesus. The Spirit's just the mediator enabling us to be closer to God the Father and God the Son. God will satisfy your needs in this relationship so that you're never alone if you don't desire the things of this world. I'll say that again clearly. God will satisfy your needs so that you're never alone in this world if you don't desire the things of this world. Desire God things, and all of a sudden the satisfaction from God is enough. You won't desire the things of this world. Friends, we know the future, not the sporting results this weekend or the lotto results for next week, but we know that God's got the future in control. We know what happens from here. Once we're friends with Jesus, there'll be judgment and we'll have to be accountable for our sin. Thankfully, Jesus has got that covered. And then heaven awaits, and then eternity from there on. Friends, that's going to be a long time. We'll have plenty of time to think about it then. But don't waste your time here and now missing out on the relationship that's there before you. And that is with Jesus. Once you know Jesus, tell others about him. Because why would you keep such joy, comfort to yourself? Tell others about him. And when you're telling them about Jesus, I want you to do it in a way that's genuine. I want you to do it not like a textbook. Do you know Jesus? He's your Lord and Savior. He's going to judge you. Hurry up and get it right. Otherwise, you're wrong. No, don't. Probably not the greatest way to go. Friends, I want you to spend time with people. I want you to speak to them. I want you to love them just like you love yourself. That's one of the commandments. If you love Jesus, you'll be keen to do that. Friends, go and seek out people so that you can share Jesus' love of you with them. Spend time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take effort on your behalf. Ask God to help you. He'll do that. But share your walk with Jesus with others. Okay? Some people have got that gift where they can do it like a textbook, and that often they've got a job that's already doing that. But you and I, we just need to share our everyday to day thing as we go. Friends, we don't walk alone. We never walk alone because the Holy Spirit is with us when we know and love Jesus and we have him as our Lord and Savior. And because we don't walk alone, we're never alone. And when you're never alone, that should bring great comfort. I'm going to finish by praying. There'll be an opportunity for you to pray for the one or two names that you're going to speak to this week. That's a challenge, I know, and not all of us are good for that challenge. But do you know what? We are asked to do it. We actually signed up for it. Believe it or not, there in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, where it said, "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify for what you have been from me, for you have been with me from the beginning." Sorry. So we've been asked there to testify. Once we've got the Spirit, the counselor comes, we've been told that we need to tell others about him. I'm going to pray. There'll be a spot for you to insert some names. Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy and the privilege that it is to be known by you. What an honor that you are willing to come to us. We thank you that Jesus' death and resurrection was for each of us. And Father, we can't understand why you'd want to do that for people like us, but Father, we are just so thankful that you did. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to speak your truth and your love to those around us. Father, we just want to bring before you a few people this morning that we know. Father, I ask that you would help us this week. Help us as opportunities arise. Help us not to share the entire gospel in a 5-minute presentation and think that we're done. But Father, help us just to live lives that are constantly oozing Jesus. Father, it doesn't come naturally to us often. Help us, we pray, so that we can ooze Jesus in the things that we do towards others, but in the words that we use as well. Father, we ask this morning that you would help us understand and that you would help us to never feel alone because you are with us always. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.